Some people are holding up two hands, so certainly I feel for you. I've been blessed. I have to say that. I have been blessed that it has not hit our household, and I thank God for that. And my prayers have been going out for those that have encountered this flu going on. I listened to the news last night, and even in the local news at 11 o'clock news, it was talking about how this is the worst flu epidemic in 10 years. And, you know, and they're saying that the vaccine wasn't really effective, and all kinds of different talk about this flu. And some people are saying, I wish it would snow. If it would snow, it would kill all of the flu virus. I rebuke them. I rebuke those people in Jesus' name. You know, now I want the flu virus to be killed, but I want Jesus to do it. But if he has to use snow, I mean, I understand that, but I you know, I'm not an advocate of snow. But anyway, this flu epidemic is bad. And so many people have had it. And I know, I was even at the hospital this week, and I was at the hospital visiting with some people and what have you. They really don't even want you to come to the hospital right now. They don't want you to come to the nursing homes right now or anything like that. Quite frankly, they don't want even to admit people to the hospital right now because the flu epidemic is so bad. They'd rather not. They'd rather send people home and tell you to stay in your house, don't be out in crowds and so forth. So the flu is bad. The flu is very bad in this 2018 flu season, and we don't really know what to do with it, it seems like. But in, I heard the other day that, you know, of the children that were at risk and children that had it and then took like a relapse of it, many of those children actually die. It's serious stuff, this flu is. I've got a question for you this morning. Do you have the flu? I was actually picking at Miss Rosetta. Miss Rosetta had it a couple weeks ago, and I was picking at her when she came into the church this morning, and I walked up to her and I went, I said, do you have a can of Lysol with you? And, you know, I'm just messing with her a little bit. We miss her when she wasn't here. And yesterday my granddaughter had a basketball tournament, and which they won their second tournament championship yesterday, by the way, Withfield Elite. Yeah, you go girls. But some of the girls, well, I'll just put it this way. They had to get them a big old trash can right out in the hall, right at the concession stand. The next thing I know, there's this really, really kind, nice Samaritan lady that has a gallon pump jar of hand sanitizer, and she's walking around pumping that stuff out on everybody. She come up to me, she said, sir, would you like to have some? I said, absolutely. Do you have the flu? I hope no one in here has the flu as far as the influenza virus. I hope that if you had it, my prayer is that you fully recuperated and there's no complications from that. My prayer is that you won't catch it again, or if you haven't caught it before, that you won't catch it at all, that God's protective hand will be over you. But I want to ask you a question. Do you have the flu? Do you have the flu? The flu I'm talking about actually is influence. You see, and this message this morning is about the power of influence, not influenza. Influence is actually the capacity to have an effect on the character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or the effect itself. Every one of us in here has influence. We can possess either negative influence, or we can possess positive influence. And of course, what I want to project to you this morning is utilizing positive influence. Utilizing positive influence. Have you ever known somebody that was a negative influence in your life? Have you ever known somebody that was a negative, you know, there were certain people that when I was a kid growing up, you know, I grew up in the day when mom and dad were still the boss, okay? Today, a lot of times, it's in reverse order. But there were certain people that I was told when I was growing up, I didn't hang out with. And some of those people I didn't hang out with, but there were some that I did sneak around and hung out with anyway. And I didn't understand why my parents didn't, especially my mom. My mom, you all have heard about my mom, the lady with the pink fly swatter that hung on a little nail beside the kitchen window. And understand that fly swatter was made for more than flies. Some of you all get my drift. And now I look back and I understand, because one person that I will leave nameless, of course, but one person that they never did want me to hang around. They never did want me running around with this guy. You know, now I look back and I understand why that they didn't want me running around with him, since most of his life he is spent imprisoned. And the home that he lived in before he became imprisoned this last time, he was living in a home that was actually unlivable in itself. In fact, after they moved him out and they put him back in prison, the home was in such bad shape, it was so infested with rodents and what have you, that they actually destroyed the home. I look back now and I can understand why my parents didn't want me to become influenced by this person, although I didn't see it at the time. But then again, I look back and I think about all of the people of positive influence that have engaged or did engage and still engage in my life today, and what they have sown into my life and what they brought to my life. And I thank God for all those of positive influence. But I also want us to realize today that not only are we influence, but we are, if you would, people of influence. In other words, we have an effect on other people's lives. Family members, especially you parents and, well, and the grandparents too. Do you realize that in some of the region here in which we are residing right now, do you realize that the number of children that are being raised by a grandparent is somewhere in the neighborhood of 65%? So it's not just parents anymore, it's grandparents as well. Do you realize that parents and grandparents, that you all have the greater influence, you should have the greatest influence over your children's life, over anybody else? If you don't have that, if you don't hold that influence, start looking for it. Retrieve it, find it, go for it. You have influence over your friends, you have influence over your coworkers, your strangers, your spouses. You even had influence in your church. You have influence among those that you're around. You know, there's people that occupy this church. There's people that are a part of this church. There are those people that can nod the head yes, or shake the head no, and they can influence the entire congregation. You see, the pastor isn't always the only influence in a church. And we can choose and we get to make decisions of what kind of influence that we will have. Proverbs 27, Solomon, in all of his wisdom, quoted this or made this statement, which is one of my favorite verses. He says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So we're people of influence. We influence one another. I've preached this parts of this before, and you know that, and we can sharpen a person's skills, we can sharpen a person's abilities, whether it's in the church or out of the church, or we can actually dull their abilities by the type of influence that we choose to be. So as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another, Solomon says out of all of his wisdom. So we find that what Solomon is saying to us is that we are people of influence. We are people of influence. That you and I can and should, and actually we do impact other people's lives, whether we even realize it or not. You may be that quiet introvert person that goes to work and don't hardly say anything all day long. You don't much more than maybe grunt at your co-workers or anything like that. But when you go in and you display yourself in Christian witness and you display yourself in integrity and humility among those co-workers, you are offering an influence to those people. So do you have the flu? Do you have the flu? Do you have the influence that you should as a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ? You see, you're equipped to have influence. Because when we read Acts chapter 1, and here we are as Pentecostals again, and we hold the early chapters, especially of Acts, so dear to our heart as Pentecostals. But when we read Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Do you realize that in this statement, I realize we all have personal Holy Ghost experiences. I realize that. I realize that we all have that. We work out our own soul salvation, so to speak, and we work out our own personal experience with God. But do you realize what this verse of Scripture is talking about? This is a verse that is given, if you would, corporately to the church, and this has it given corporately to the church. The Lord is saying, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is on you as the church. Understand this. We sometimes have as Pentecostal believers, sometimes we our frame of mind, I wonder if our logic and our reasoning is quite right when it comes to the working of the Holy Spirit. Because we'll talk about we're going to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. Holy Spirit rain down. And we're waiting and we're anticipating, and we want to sing it down and we want to pray it down, and quite honestly, it's not a it, it's a he. But the truth of the matter is, the Holy Spirit has already come upon the church. He is upon the church. Now certainly we as Pentecostals exercise and believe, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit has a inner infilling of the Holy Spirit shown forth by the initial evidence of speaking in unknown tongues. But quite frankly, the Holy Spirit has come. We're not waiting on Him to be sent. We're not waiting on Him to suddenly make an appearance. The Holy Spirit has come and has been given to the church, and the church is equipped with the Holy Spirit. We are equipped by the Holy Spirit. You are equipped in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you and I should and are people of influence, whether we realize it or not, if we are believers, because of the work of the Holy Spirit that is going on in our lives. So do you have the flu? Do you have the flu? So we find ourselves, as we are people of influence, do we have a pattern of influence? What is our pattern of influence? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11, pattern yourselves after me. Follow my example as I imitate and follow Christ, the Messiah. The apostle was writing that to the church at Corinth, of course. And as we begin to think about that verse of Scripture, there's not a defined protocol of sorts. And sometimes in spite of how much we try not to, you realize that you and I are terrible about trying to put God in a box. Do you realize? Yeah, you know, I went in Rural King the other day. I was over there at Rural King yesterday, and I walked by the little cages. Y'all been to Rural King? You been to Rural King? That's my favorite store for right now. Rural King. I like Rural King. They got it all. They got guns. They got horse and mule feed. They got car parts. They got camping supplies. They got all kinds. I like Rural King. I like that store. Don't need a thing there, but I like it. I just like going in and walking around. Took Sarah in yesterday. I said, let's get us a bag of that. Yeah, those of you that's been there, listen, if you've not been to Rural King, they're not paying me for this commercial, by the way. But if you've not been there, you need to go. Especially those of you that are like 40 years old and over, because it reminds you of going to the old Hills department store. They got that buttered popcorn right when you walk in, and it's free. So we walked around a little while. I told Sarah, I said, "Don't you want some of that popcorn?" She said, "No, I don't think I want any of that popcorn." I said, "I'm going to go get us a bag of that popcorn." And I went and got us a bag of the popcorn, and I ate the whole bag. I like Rule King. But I went in there the other day, and you know, you get back in the livestock section, you know, where all the horse and mule feeding, the hog feeding, the chicken feeding, everything's at. And they have all these pens of little, we used to call them witties back when we raised chickens. Some people call them ditties. And some people call them baby chicks. Figure that out. And they had these pens full of little yellow ones and little brown ones and so forth and so on. And they're in there, all in those little cages. Beep, beep, beep. Oh, that is good. So good. Elaine the Witty. Jerry's the Ditty. The Witty and the Ditty. But they were all caged up. And you know what they were wanting? They were, those little chicks, in a manner of speaking, they're all caged up, but they're not meant to be caged up like that. They need somebody to come in, buy them and set them free and release them, and then they will grow and they'll either lay eggs or and they'll become chicken tenders. Something will happen to them. But those little chicks, they're not meant to be in that cage forever. But do you realize many times that you and I, that we box up or we cage up the working of the Holy Spirit, and we don't allow the Holy Spirit to work through us? We try to contain Him into our little cage, our little box, keep Him under our heat lamps, and we limit the Holy Spirit work through us because we're trying to contain Him. But I've got news for you today. The Holy Spirit can be contained, and if He could, it would not be our right to contain Him per se, but the Holy Spirit is living and being and to be flowing through us, and we are to be people of influence affecting everybody that we come in contact one way or another, even if we're not outspoken people. So how do we influence people? One way to do it is this: loving Jesus like He really is the Lord of your life. Listen, people can tell if we love Jesus or not, folks. Yeah, and one thing, with the millennial generation that is behind me, and some of you all are part of that millennial generation, one of the trademarks of the millennial generation is they don't like fake stuff. They like real stuff. If you don't believe it, go to Kroger. Jerry goes to Kroger several times a week because he works there. But go to Kroger, especially the one up in Princeton. Go to Kroger and you go by this, the organic section. You've got organic lettuce, and organic celery, and organic carrots. McDonald's is coming out with organic beef on their hamburgers. We have a generation in front of us that is surrounding us. It's actually the largest generation, the largest in census of any generation that's ever been before. And the one thing that the millennial generation wants, and the one thing that they require, is authenticity. They want it to be real. They want it to be right. They don't want it painted up, or, you know, hey man, I used to be in body work, okay? I ran my own shop for a lot of years, and I want to tell you what, you can throw some Bondo in a hole and you can cut it with a straight line sander, and you can prime it up, and then you can come back and wet sand it, and you can spray some paint over it, and you know what? And for a little while, nobody may not even know it's there, but eventually it will show up. And if we're not authentic, and if we're not real in our relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to show up sooner or later. And the one way that we can have such great influence and we can influence the world around us is loving Christ as Lord of my life and be authentic in our love and our worship for Jesus. And serve Him. And thank God for my 90, how old's James now? 94? He's got a birthday this month, one of my mentors in life. 93, 94 years old. And a lot of years ago, one of the first lessons that that man learned me, taught me, was you serve God by serving people. If we're going to serve God, listen, we talk about worship and worship's good. And we just, on Wednesday nights, we just finished up a series on worship a few weeks ago. And we're doing, by the way, we do have Wednesday night service at 6:30 every Wednesday night, weather permitting. And for right now, our Wednesday night series is simply on revival and revitalization. But we serve God by serving people. And so Sarah is not God in herself, but I serve God by serving her. I serve God by serving Heath. I serve God by serving Dot. I serve God by serving people out here that I don't even know. I serve God by serving people that deserve to be served. I serve God by serving people that really doesn't seem to deserve a whole lot of grace and mercy from my standpoint. But I serve God by serving people. And that is taking on, if you would, the attitude of Christ. That is taking on the personality of Jesus, if you would. And then I have to have a love for God's Word. Whether it's preached, taught, or studied. Listen, I need the Word of God, and you do too. You know what? I like Tim Hill. Tim Hill released, those of you that know who Bishop Tim Hill is, he's the General Bishop of the Church of God, Cleveland, Tennessee. He's a preaching machine. And he released a video about a week or two ago, and it's an old adage, it's an old saying around Pentecostalism and the church world and all that. But he preached a great message from the thought that you will never be any more spiritual than you are scriptural. So we can, if we run the back of the pews and swing from the chandeliers and shout and talk in languages that no one else understands, but we're never in the Word of God, oh my Lord, then how spiritual are we? You see, we need to absorb the Word of God in order to have influence that God has equipped us and wants us to have. We need to absorb the Word of God in order. Listen, you can't give away what you don't have. I can't either. You can't give away what you don't have. Now, you know, I would come up with some, you know, off the wall example, and I could walk back there and I could say to Stephen Barlow, I'd say, Stephen, give me $1 million. And I'm assuming he doesn't have it. But now Carly's sitting there shaking his head. Yes, he does too. No, she's not. She's not. But the reality of it is, you can't give away what you don't have. Remember the story? Walking up the hill, walking up to the gate of the temple. A man with a cup, shaking that cup. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor. Would you help me? Would you help me? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. King Jimmy worded, such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. We don't have to have silver. We don't have to have gold. We don't have to have, there's a whole lot of things that we don't have to have. But the one thing that we should have as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, full of the Holy Ghost, is the power and the influence of God to turn around and to speak into people's lives and to influence their lives and impart into their lives, because God has called us as people of influence to serve other people. So we should hold the power of influence with high regard. Let me tell you, it's a privilege to serve Jesus. It's a privilege to serve Jesus. It's a privilege to serve Jesus by serving other people. If you haven't done that, try it sometime. If you haven't done it in a while, do it again soon. Serve someone. Use your influence. Use what God has given you to go out and to minister to somebody's life. Use what God has given you to affect somebody else's life. Now, I want to tell you something. Somebody asked me this morning, and Latrissa, if you all are watching, we're praying for you guys. I know Latrissa's on the road this morning with some other business, but Rick and Latrissa, some of you have been asking where they've been. Well, they've been in Costa Rica on a little missions trip. They got back from Costa Rica Thursday, and Latrissa texted me. She said, I'm headed to the airport with Ricky. He's going to Houston. And he's going to work on the DRUSA, Disaster Relief USA. He's going to go and work with the DRUSA team rebuilding some of the houses in Houston. You can't keep him down. He loves helping other people. He loves doing things for other people. He loves affecting the lives of other people. And let me tell you, when we take on that attitude of helping and ministering to other people and impacting their lives and using the influence that God has given us to touch their lives, let me tell you what, I believe that we will win sons and daughters to the kingdom of God. I believe that we will begin reaching lost souls. I believe that we will begin touching the lives of people that maybe once knew God, but for some reason they turned away from God in disbelief or unbelief. Maybe they were injured. Maybe they were hurt. Maybe somebody let them down. But somehow we can take the influence that God has given us and He's equipped us with through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, and we can impact the lives of those who are in need by using our influence that God has given us. So we can, and we do, and we will make a difference in the lives of other people. And let me tell you, whether you realize this or not, whether I realize this or not, whether they realize it or not, who's they? The people that are in need. The people out there, there's people all, do you know that right now there's more people in Mercer County that are unsaved, unchurched, than there are people that are saved and in church? Did you know that? Does that mean they're bad people? Of course not. But what it does mean, there are people out there that are hurting. There's people out there that are crying from within. There's people out there that have needs, and quite frankly, some of them don't even know what they need. And I can prove that. I can prove that with the statistics of drug addiction. I can prove that with the statistics of people that are abusing their bodies. I can prove that with people that are overcome with alcoholism. I can prove that with people that, are they bad people? No, they have their issues. They have their problems. They have addictions. That doesn't make them bad people. But what it does tell me is there are people that are out there looking, and they're searching, and they're digging, and they're groping like a person in total darkness, looking for help and looking for answers. And all the time, we can be people of influence, to be influenced in their life, to be ministering into their lives, to be touching their lives, to offer them hope in something besides a pill or a needle or a joint or a bottle or whatever that may be. We can be people of influence to offer them everything they need to answer their problems, because let me tell you, there is not a single problem that Jesus can't answer. I just spit all over my wife. There's not a single problem that Jesus can't answer. There's not a single hurt that Jesus can't heal. And we are people of influence. We are people of influence that can take Jesus unto the people that are hurting. But we've got to get after it. So do we have the flu? Do we really have the flu? Hold your power of influence in high regard, because it is an honor. It is an honor to have influence Because you can make a difference in somebody's life. Jesus through you. When you least suspect it, when you least expect it, Jesus will use you to make a difference in somebody's life. Let me tell you a story. Yesterday, in similar fashion to, you know, we have our annual cheese ball contest here. And usually the results are questionable because I have yet to win first place. Yesterday at the Harley shop in Whistle, they had a soup contest. Soup, S-O-U-P, soup or bowl weekend. Your niece coordinated that. And I made my soup. It was good. Actually, I still got one crock pot of it left because I made two pots of it. If any of y'all would like some of it, I will bring you some. Kielbasa, cabbage, and garlic soup. If you've got the flu, if you have the flu, I would like to bless you. Don't you, my tutor's friends don't laugh. It may end up at tutor's one morning this week. And I didn't win. They must have the same system. Debbie must use the same system. I didn't win. I didn't even get third place. But you know what I did get to do? I got to talk to a guy that I knew from years ago. If you don't want me patting you on, don't sit there no more, because you just fire game sitting there, man. If I spit on you, I'll get me a mask. I went up to this guy and I talked to this guy, and I hadn't seen him in a number of years. He really didn't remember me, and I reintroduced myself to him. He said, "Oh man, you're the preacher." He said, "How's clean living, holy living treating you?" I said, "Well," I said, "I thank you for saying that." I said, "But I'm just a person just like you." I said, "But God has blessed me tremendously," and I'm talking to him, "How are you doing?" and so forth and so on. And I talked to this guy a little while, and he gets talking to me about some situations and circumstances in his life, and you know, he gets done talking to me, and you know, we do a thing in the motorcycle world. It's called a bike blessing. Those of you that ride know what I'm talking about. But I'm chaplain of the Harley owners group. So I said, "Hey man, anytime you sell a new Harley," I said, "just let me know." And I said, "If somebody wants it blessed before it rolls out of the showroom, call me. If I'm close by, man, I'll come do that. You know, it's a good witness opportunity, good time of influence." He said, "Well, I appreciate that. You know, we had one in front of the Harley shop last year. We blessed 52 bikes and riders." And I said, "Well, listen, I gotta go." I said, "I'll talk to you later. It's good to see you again after all these years." He said, "Wait a minute." And he pulls his card out of his billfold and he hands me one of his business cards. And he says, "I want you to do something for me." I'm thinking, "Oh, he's gonna tell me that he's gonna give me like $50 for every sale that I make for him." You know, I'm thinking that's what he's gonna do. That wasn't what he said at all. But what he did say is this. He said, "I want to ask you to do this." He said, "I want you to take this card," he said, "and I want you to hang it up somewhere where you're gonna see it every day. And he said, I want you to pray for me. He said, I want you to pray for me that my life will be blessed. I want you to pray for me that my career will be blessed. He said, I want you to pray for me that I will do the things that are right and pleasing to God. He said, because I know that you're a man of prayer." Now, he's making an assumption on that because he doesn't know me, okay? But I am going to I do have his card, and I am going to pray. It's going to be a matter of prayer over this guy's card. Nothing to do with the card, but I'm praying for him. But do you understand what I'm saying to you? This is not about me. It's nothing. It's just a circumstance that happened to me yesterday. But you, just the same as me, wherever you go, you are influencing somebody. Use your influence for the glory of God. Use your influence to change somebody's lives. Use your influence to impact somebody's lives. Do you have the flu? Mr. Rogers. I love Mr. Rogers, but I like Captain Kangaroo better. But Captain Kangaroo didn't come up with anything like this. Mr. Rogers said, we live in a world in which we all need to share responsibility. It's easy to say, it's not my child, it's not my community, it's not my world, and this is not my problem. But in the reality of it is, God has put us here for a reason. God has put us here for a cause. We are here for the furtherment of the kingdom of God. If you don't believe that, why would you ever pray that prayer, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. But we are here for purpose. We are here for reason. We are here to serve the kingdom of God. We are here to edify the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to influence all of those that are around us. We're here to minister to people. So do you have the flu? Yes, you do. Maxwell said, for most people, it's not what they are that holds them back. It's what they think they are not. You know the problem that you have with allowing your influence to be released, the problem I have with my influence to be released, is because we don't have the confidence in ourselves. Because we think, I can't do this. Is because we think, I'm not fit for the Lord to use, or we think I'm not qualified, or we'll sidestep it. We'll say, well, somebody else is a whole lot more qualified than I am to do this. We sell ourselves short too much. But listen to me. When we are equipped, going back to Acts chapter 1, when we are full of the Holy Ghost, listen, you cannot get any more, any better, any better equipped than the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life or my life. We can't ask for any more. God gave His best when He gave Jesus on the cross, the best sacrifice. He gave us the best equipping when He gave us the Holy Ghost. We are people of influence, and God has given us through the working of the Holy Spirit the power to reach out and to use our influence and to be world changers. If it wasn't so much aggravation, I really wouldn't mind changing the name of the church from Voice of Praise to World Changers. I'll be honest with you. But if we don't name it that, I would certainly expect us to live up to that name. But we all, every single one of us in this room, individually, and also as corporate, even more so, have the opportunity to be world changers. You all have heard the story of the starfish and how the starfish, if you haven't, I'll share it with you. The starfish had swept up during a storm. The beach was covered with starfish. The tide had went out and left the beach covered, littered with starfish. There was a little boy walking along the beach barefooted, and he would pick a starfish up and he would fling it back out into the ocean. And an old weathered looking man of the coast, he said, boy, what are you doing? Little boy said, I'm throwing starfish back in the ocean. He said, son, what do you think? Why are you wasting your time doing that? He said, because I want to make a difference. He said, son, there's thousands, maybe millions of starfish up and down this beach. He said, do you really think that you can make a difference? The little boy picked up one more starfish, slung it back out into the ocean, and he said, I did with that one. How do you eat an elephant? You eat an elephant one bite at a time. How do you influence the world? You influence the world one person at a time. We're people of influence. We're to be world changers. So do you have the flu? The answer is yes, you do. Not the influenza, I hope not. The answer is yes, you do have the flu because you have influence. And unlike influenza, I wouldn't want you spreading it around. You know, get out the Lysol, get out the hand sanitizer, the little paper mask, stay in your house, whatever you need to do. Don't be spreading the flu around. The influenza. But do be spreading the influence of God's love and His Word. Spread it everywhere you go. If you will spread it everywhere you go, cast your bread upon the water. See what kind of return it's going to bring. If we will begin to spread our influence around, just one person at a time, it's amazing. It's amazing what will occur. So you do have the flu. Spread it around as much as you can. Guys upstairs, if you all have some music track to run for us. There's somebody you probably influenced last week and you don't even know it. There's somebody that you probably influenced and you may not ever know it until eternity. You know, all of us in this room has probably been to a funeral sometime or another. And, you know, funerals are strange occurrences. Have you ever noticed that? Funerals are really strange occurrences. You know, have you ever went to a funeral? Have you ever done this? Or you ever, it's probably the person in front of you in line. You're walking through the line at the funeral home and the corpse is there in the casket and the person, you're going through the line at the funeral home and you look at them in the casket at this body and you speak to that family member that's standing there and you say, "Boy, old Harry sure does look good. He's dead. Give me a break. He's dead. I don't want nobody to tell me I look good when I'm dead. Okay? Tell me I look good now." But you walk by and you maybe said, "Oh, Brother Harry, he sure was good to me. I never did tell him, but he really impacted my life." But you know what? That's just the way it is. You may not hear it. You may not ever hear it on this side of eternity. But you have positive influence on lives of other people. And you can change their lives. You can be a world changer. Look at the person next to you and tell them. Tell the person next to you, say, "You can be a world changer." Because you can be a world changer if you will just take the influence that God has given you and put it to work. The Bible says, "What man lights a candle and then puts it under a bushel?" Remember that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? You learned when you were taught that song when you were in probably the 4-year-old class. Taking our influence into the world. That's all God wants us to do. That's all He's asking us to do.